You know, when the world's going crazy, it's nice to have someone by your side, isn't it? So, and it's nice to have God by our side through it all. And we're here to celebrate Christ and His goodness to us this morning. And I want to ask that you step back in time. Well, the Bible steps back in time no matter where we start. But I want to go way back in time. I want to ask you to join me in Genesis this morning. How about that? Been a while since we've been in the Old Testament. So I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Genesis chapter 4 this morning. And if you will, please stand with me in honor of God's Word. Genesis chapter 4, I'll begin reading at verse number 1. Genesis 4, beginning in verse number 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit, of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Father, we thank you so much for this day again, for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, for your words to strengthen us against our enemy, even against ourselves. And Father, for opening our eyes to see things that offend, but things that restore. And how we can have restoration through you and through Jesus. And Father, I pray that we have found forgiveness and that we do continue to walk in forgiveness, honoring you as you have honored us every day. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, we find these words in chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead, he still speaks. And all of God's word still speaks to us today. God's word is alive. And it speaks to us. And it speaks to us through the lives of others and how they lived and how they acted. What they did to dishonor God. What they did to find honor before God again. And here we have Cain and Abel, two brothers in life and in death, standing before God, giving an account, making an offering and giving an account. And we find that God honored Abel's gift, but he did not honor Cain's gift. So what's the difference between Cain and Abel? Well, yeah, first let me just share a little bit about who they are. Cain is the firstborn, and he is called a man-child, right? You see here Eve, when she has her son, she says, I have acquired a man-child from the Lord. And if you just go back into chapter 3, Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, and they were being taken out of the Garden of Eden, and God was talking to Adam and Eve and the serpent even, and there was a promise of things that would be, and to the serpent, he said that between him and the seed of the woman there would be enmity. There would be strife and fighting all the time. But the serpent, though he would bruise his heel, the Messiah, or the promised one, would crush his head. And so we can almost look at this passage when Eve says, I have acquired a man from the Lord. She is almost as if she's saying to us, the Messiah is here. How many people today say, I know when the Messiah is coming, or lift up your eyes, the Messiah is coming. I don't think we can go another week before God returns. And none of us ever have it right, do we? And even if Eve was saying this in the sense that she thought she had given birth to the promised one, she was wrong. And then she had another son, Abel. But she thought Cain was special, and he should have been. Not only was he the firstborn, he was one who took care of the ground. He tilled the ground. He grew crops. And you know, the ground had been cursed. God had cursed the ground through sweat and through toil. Would we work the ground to raise the crops we need to survive? Firstborn and a farmer. Man, that sounds like a good job to me. How about you? I like the idea of farming. I like the idea of gardening. Man, I'm telling you, I have struggled since I have been in Florida just to even have a garden. It just blows my mind how hard it is to grow a garden down here. I always loved the idea of farming and gardening. If I wasn't doing what I am doing, I think I would take a step out into the farming life and see how good I could do there. Hard work. Any of y'all ever grow up working on farms? I grew up working in tobacco farms, picking apples and stuff when I was in school. It's hard work. But man, what fun it can be. The fun you can have with everybody you're working with. We have fun in church with each other too, don't we? You know, we're farmers here, aren't we? Planting the seeds of the gospel, watering the seeds of the gospel, helping to grow those that are young in Christ and helping them to grow into maturity. Sometimes we have to spray them down to get the bugs off, right? Sometimes we have to spray ourselves down to get the bugs off. Cain was a farmer, but Abel was a shepherd. You remember one of the commandments that God had for Adam in the garden was that he should have dominion over life. And he had that dominion, that he should rule over the animals of the earth. And Abel was a shepherd, a ruler over life. And he cared for animals and the stock. He was one that watched them born, watched them grow. He had dominion over them. And by faith, Abel took one of those lambs and made an offering to God. Why do you think Abel made an offering of a lamb? Why do you think Cain made an offering of the fruit? Because that's who they were. That's what they did. They made an offering of what they had. But why was Cain rejected and Abel accepted? You know, there are a lot of things we could talk about there. But perhaps Abel was acting in kind as God had acted when he took the life of the lamb and made tunics of skin for them. When God showed Adam and Eve that something innocent could die for their sins, for their rebellion against him, that though they had earned and deserved death, something innocent could find itself paying the price. Death didn't come to Adam and Eve immediately, but it came to the Lamb. And the blood that was spilled and the noise that the lamb must have been made. Now, let me just say, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and the promise of death, how many times do you think they ever saw a sparrow fall from a tree? Dead. How many times did they have to bury a friend or a relative? None. What was death to them? Really? What was the threat of dying to them? What's the threat to any consequence to us today when we know that we shouldn't do something, but we've never experienced the consequence of what it might bring? What is it to us until we experience it? It's nothing. And too many times in our life we think, oh, I don't have to worry about that. That's not going to happen to me. Until we get to the point where Eve was and she thought, oh, I'm listening to the serpent. He told me it's not that it's anything I should worry about. It's just that God doesn't want me to be like him, to have all this knowledge and have all this understanding. God just doesn't want me to be like him. It's not going to really matter if I eat of this fruit or not. And then death came. And it became real, and it became real when they were taken out of the garden and God took the life of that lamb. And for the first time in their life, they saw what death was. What do you think they felt when they heard the cries of the lamb as it died? Do you think they had a fear of, this is what's about to happen to me? A kind of a moment where they had some real fear of what God's word meant when he said, you will die. And they talked with Cain and Abel about it after they were spared, because the innocent life had been taken to give them the covering for the new life they were living. You know, the fig leaf didn't do them any good in the garden, and it sure wasn't going to do them any good in this world we live in, was it? How many of you are glad we don't wear fig leaves today? I'm really glad we don't wear fig leaves today. God clothed them. It took the blood of a lamb for them to be clothed. And can you imagine Adam and Eve talking with Cain and Abel as they began to grow about this experience and about that moment? And can't you imagine possibly Abel thinking to himself, God did this for me, and in honor of God, I am giving this offering back because I recognize what he's teaching me. Something innocent has to take my place. Cain, on the other hand, he offered the fruit of the land. The fruit of the land. And God said, that's not acceptable. That is not acceptable. But if you do well, don't you know that I will accept your offering? If you just do it right. How many people in here today still feel like that when you give of yourself, God doesn't accept it? And if you ever do feel that way, let me ask you another question. Do you feel that you gave it in a way that it honored God? Because you see, there's two things that are happening here with Cain and Abel, and it still happens in lives of people today. One is doing something because it is an honor of God, and another one is doing something because it's the way they think it ought to be done, rather than the way it should be done. You have directions. You know what you should do. That's just not the way you want to do it. I mean, this is what has happened with Cain. He made an offering. God said, that's not acceptable. Now, don't get mad about it. Just do it right. If you do it right, won't I accept what you do? Won't I honor you in this as you are honoring me? And Cain, he heard it. He had the truth of it, and he still would not give up his idea of what it ought to be like instead of what it was supposed to be like. God said this way. He said, well, I'm going to do it that way. You see people like that today in life? Removing God's standard for their own, because this is what's happening. Cain says, God, I hear you, but my standard is better. And I'm going to do it this way. God said, don't you know if you do well, you'll be accepted? Can y'all hear these words? Can't you see what is happening in this scripture? If you do well, will you not be accepted? This is our struggle in life as well, isn't it? What we do in life to honor God, based on how He says it should be, what it should look like, how it should be done, or our own ideas on what makes it better. What makes it better? God, I know how to make this better. You know, God sometimes just wants us to keep it as simple as He said. Just do it like this. Just do it like this, and everything will be well. This is our struggle before God, the same as Cain's. Let me ask you a question. What was it that caused sin to enter into the life of Adam and Eve? It was disobedience. Well, what was it disobedience over? It was fruit, wasn't it? Don't eat the apple. I'm going to eat the apple. Apple looked good. If I'd have thought about it, I'd have brought an apple and set it on the pulpit today and said, don't y'all touch my apple. Don't eat the apple. Or else, of all the fruit that was in the Garden of Eden, there was only one that was limited. It was the apple. They ate of the fruit. They disobeyed. And sin entered into the world and into all of us through the one man, Adam. When Cain made an offering, it says he made an offering of the fruit of the land. How many of you think Adam watched his son, Eve watched their son, when he made his sacrifice before God and he brought the fruits and the vegetables and he set an apple up there and said, here you go, God. Take it or leave it. You think that's possible? The very thing that brought the contention between man and God, between the creation and the creator, an apple, and somebody sits it on the counter and says, here it is, God, take it or leave it. Because this is who I am. This is what I do. And if you don't like me for who I am, you don't have to. But this is what you're getting. You ever met anybody like that? Even today in this world? God, this is who I am. You made me this way. You know what? God has a word for us. It's unacceptable. But if you do well, I'll accept you. So what do I choose, the lamb or the apple? That's what we face every day in life when we're deciding to do right or wrong. The lamb or the apple. How many of you have ever chosen the apple? Can I get a... Never mind. All of us in here have chosen the apple at times, haven't we? But how many of us, when God spoke to us about our sin, really shrugged our shoulders and said, well, that's who I am, God, take it or leave it. How many of us instead fell on our knees and said, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, strengthen me, help me to understand better who I should be, and help me to see better the things that offend you, and to keep them out of my life, and to certainly not throw it up to you and say, here's my offering of myself, take it or leave it. That is no way to talk to God. Because who can stand in the presence of God with a challenge like that? And yet when we offer Jesus Christ as the opportunity to life, as the solution for the battle that rages between God and His creation, as the only one who can bring peace, people say, I can find a better way. In fact, I'm working on it now. I'm just about to get it right. Or when you give them testimony and you ask them, why can't you submit? Why can't you find forgiveness? Why can't you acknowledge Christ and the peace that He's offering? They say, I don't have time. I'm not ready. I have too many other things I want to do. I want to make sure it's right. And if God loves me, if God is a God of love, He's not going to do all these horrible things you say. I can hear Adam and Eve now. Please listen to Him. Because we died just as He said we would. And He tells us now, if we don't find life through His Son, Jesus Christ, we will die a second death that is eternal and there's no escape from. There won't be any other offerings that can be made. There won't even be any more knocks on the door to see if you're ready. If you have figured it out, you didn't have it right. It will be said and done, and that is the way it will be. And it won't be because we didn't know that we're receiving eternal punishment. It will be because we said to God, I have a better standard than what you are telling me I have to have. And this is what happens with Cain and Abel. And it goes even further than that. God said, if you do well, won't you be accepted? Eve was enticed to sin. Cain couldn't even be talked out of it, not by God Himself. He even became angry. And he talked to his brother Abel. And after they had talked for a while, however long it was, Cain says, well, if there's another standard that proves that I'm wrong, I'll just get rid of that standard and I'll be the only standard there is. If my standard is wrong, then I'll find a way to make my standard right, even if it means killing my brother. Because God's got nobody else to point to now. If I'm the only one standing, then I must be right. You ever feel that way? You ever see people act that way? Do you ever see churches teach today? There are things in Scripture that aren't right. Do you ever see denominations stand up in front of all of the world today and say, we don't need to listen to that. That's not right. How many churches today are out there promoting such things that are abominations in the eyes of God and saying, this is okay. Come and worship with us and find the peace that God is offering. And yet they are finding themselves on a path of destruction because they cannot even hear God saying, it's not acceptable. But if you do well, won't you be accepted? If you do well, will I not accept you? See, God has given Cain hope. He said, you did it wrong. I'm telling you, you did it wrong, but you can get it right. And get it right, and I'll embrace your offering just as I have embraced the offering of Abel. And I'll look at you two the same. If you will just get it right. And he's telling people that same thing through his son, Jesus Christ, today. If you will just get it right, I don't care what you used to look like, I will see you through the light of my son, Jesus. And the sacrifice he made of himself for you. If you find your peace with me through Jesus, all will be well. And yet the people in this world today, I declare, I think it's getting worse. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. And people want to argue and tell you why Christianity can't be right and why Christianity can't be the only way to heaven and why and why and why. Because they have it all figured out and they will not listen to what God has been speaking to us through the centuries to find peace with him through his son, Jesus. The Old Testament pointed to it and the New Testament brings it alive to us and gives us the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. And if you reject Jesus Christ, you will die. But here's what God is saying to us. But if you get it right, won't you be accepted? Won't you be accepted? You can't change the standard that is Jesus Christ. You can't remove the standard that is Jesus Christ. You cannot find a better way. It is Jesus Christ alone. And there's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Do you know when God is speaking to you? He says it like this. Sin is lying at the door and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. You see, when sin is lying at the door, he is saying to us, it wants to own you. It wants to control you. It wants your life to be so intertwined with it, you can't tell the difference between it and you. God says to us, it's lying at the door, but you should rule over it. I tell you what, sometimes emotions get in the way. We want to do something so bad, we don't understand why we can't. God says we shouldn't. There's a penalty. Rule over that. Don't allow your emotions to put you in danger of dishonoring God. Don't allow your desires to do it your own way put you in danger that you dishonor God. He says, every one of us has sin lying at the door, but we should rule over it and not it over us and not sin over us. You know what this lesson is really all about? God has a lesson for us. And it's not really about choices we face in life. It's about the choice of life. The choice of life today in Jesus Christ. The apple or the lamb. The thing that divides or brings peace. The thing that divides or brings peace. That which brings peace is Jesus. I think every one of us that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior can give a wonderful testimony after testimony after testimony about the goodness in our life because of Christ. We can also give testimony after testimony after testimony over the complications apples have brought into our life. I would plead with you to choose the Lamb. I would plead with you to choose the Lamb. I'm pleading with you now to choose Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you don't have peace, if you are still thinking there's a better way, that you've got it figured out and you can clean yourself up and you need to clean yourself up before you come to God, you've got it wrong. Jesus says, come to me and let's get it worked out. Don't come to me with your plan on how you're going to get it worked out. Come to me and get it worked out through Him. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? I pray that you do. But if you don't, the altar is open. And we're here to receive and to uplift in prayer and pleadings on your behalf. Come and find peace with God while there's time. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you again for the lessons that you give us, the things that you show us, and Lord, even for the restrictions that you put before us in life. And Father, I pray that we choose wisely every day, in everything, in our words, in our thoughts, in our deeds. Father, that we honor you and respect you as you have honored and respected us. And I pray, Father, if there is one here without peace, that you help them find it today through your Son, Jesus. I ask it to your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?